Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 31. Our guest is Chase Peterson, the CEO of Premier Esports. Chase is a gifted individual with a talent for building brand and community. Premier Esports is the community he built that is designed to empower players and content creators in pursuing their careers in gaming and esports. Chase has lots of experience in sales and marketing. He's used these skills to generate revenue for his team through sponsors and advertisers. In this podcast, Chase and I get to dive into how to build a brand in esports, how to provide community with value, and how can companies innovate in the industry. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox with the Esports Business Network podcast. We're back here with a special guest. I had the opportunity to go on his show a few months back and talk a little bit about what the Esports Business Network is doing. But I wanted to have him on the show, and we finally got it to come together. And welcome to the show, Chase Peterson of Premier GG.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
We had fun last time.
Yeah, so what have you been up to?
Crazy, man. A lot of stuff has transpired since our last conversation. A lot of progress, a lot of good stuff. So,
very cool. On this podcast, some listeners may have already kind of gotten to know you. Some may have, seen you on your podcast, and I rebroadcast that podcast to my network. So some people might have already gotten to know you a little bit, but for those listeners and those new to the Esports Business Network podcast, how did Chase get into video gaming? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, we're in throw it way back. So I guess I've been into, the gaming scene for a long time, really, back in the old, Halo days. That was really, what really sparked me into playing games. You know, Halo 2, SWAT, and just the MLG settings and running OG game battles and things like that. Go way back with, competitive gaming. I started playing Call of Duty. Call of Duty 4, what was that, like 2006, 2005, something like that. And I really just kind of fell in love with the industry and the scene, and it's addicting. And went to college, met some people who had the same interest as me, spent hours and hours playing Halo 3 and Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 1, and my passion for gaming, never really has left me. It's always been kind of on the shoulder for a long time. I started, content creation on my own with my own channel for a little, almost 2 years. And, I'm not the most entertaining person in the world. So I met a guy 2.5 years ago now, who, started streaming, and we both just kind of agreed, hey, streaming is tough, man. It's tough by yourself. If you don't know people, if you're not networking and making friends, sitting behind a computer and playing for strangers is a tough job. It's a tough ask. And, we started a little group, and that little group started to gain some traction, and we brought some really cool people in. And I guess the little community that we had started to take notice of, the cool people that we had, and they wanted to be a part of it. And it snowballed into rules, requirements, activity, an LLC, and now full-blown, you know, esports organization and content creating company, management company, all kinds of different stuff. So, you know, it's been a heck of a journey. And I think anytime anybody asks me, you know, how I got into it, I tell them the same thing. It's where an accident met a passion. And that's pretty much, you know, what happened is like just combined my love for this industry with, you know, the circumstances that were in front of me. And it just made sense for us to, you know, take this on as a legitimate business and to pursue it as a career. So it's been a heck of a journey so far.
Very cool. And so what is your favorite game? Do you have a favorite game?
Favorite game, like right now?
Yeah, now or is when you were growing up, what was your favorite game?
Favorite game growing up, Halo 2 for sure. Favorite game now, I would say the one that I play the most, it's probably Apex. I play Apex occasionally. I don't get to game as much as I used to. But, you know, when I do, I'll jump on and just mess around with some of the content creators on Apex. And favorite game to watch in terms of like competition, I really, really love to watch League of Legends. It's such a fun esport and such an energetic environment to watch with the casters. And there's just so much action going on. It gets you hyped up. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. So when did you establish, you talked about business a little bit there, when did you establish Premier GG?
Yeah, so Premier, I guess, is the business. It was established in January 2020, and it's under Premier Esports LLC. And then a few months after, I would say, let's see, probably about 8 months after, we did like a social media rebrand. To kind of encapsulate all of the different aspects of what we were doing. We didn't want to just be labeled on social media anyway as just an esports team and just an esports company. You know, we have a bunch of content creators and, you know, a large stream team and a large community. So, you know, we threw the GG on there to kind of, you know, round it out a little bit.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So for those people who are new to the industry and new to esports, esports is a niche within the larger gaming and nerd culture and whatnot and geek culture. And a lot of the times when folks get into the business, they sometimes neglect the, you know, influencer, the creatives, those folks. And what you've done is you started off in the competitive side, but now you've branched into original content and other things related to gaming. So Premier GG, how many content creators are you guys working with now?
We have like officially we have 19. So we have 19 that are like our official content creators, but we, you know, my company, something that, you know, we really like stand on in terms of like a pillar of, you know, why we exist and how we're different is trying to establish like a place where the entry level, the new, the inexperienced, the just starting, have a place to network and gain some opportunity and some skills and meet some friends, meet some gaming partners, you know, all kinds of different things. So we have a team, a community level team that's open for anybody to join. It's called Rising. You know, Rising, I guess is for those people. It's for fans, friends, family members, streamers, hopeful players, amateurs, semi-professionals. And we take a look at all those people that are in there, and we opened up a portion of our like stream team to some of the people that, you know, we thought, you know, had the potential and just needed a little bit of kick. So we actually, on our stream team, we have 100, and I think the last time I looked, it was like 130 streamers on there. It's been pretty cool, you know, getting to know some of these smaller people and watching them kind of flourish in a safe environment. It's a cool thing to watch for sure.
Yeah, for those people new to the industry, what is a stream team, and how is that valuable for a live content creator?
Oh, I'm sorry. So a stream team is, you know, started by a Twitch partner on Twitch. It existed on other platforms. I'm not sure if it's on Facebook or not, but it's a place where it's a URL where all of the group of different content creators are housed in a video player on a list. So if you had 10 of your friends and you all wanted to be part of a stream team, you could go to www.twitch.tv/team, your name, and all your friends will show up on the list. And I guess why that's beneficial is because, and I'll use an example of Tapman Army. I really like Tim. Tim's one of my favorite content creators. He's got a pretty large stream team, and he invites some of the people in his community to the stream team to, you know, help them with exposure when he goes live and he streams for his, you know, 7 hours a day. And when he stops, all of his community want to, you know, if they're still watching, want to keep going. They want to keep watching. So, you know, Tim will occasionally drop a raid, I guess is, you know, what it's called, and throw his community to a smaller streamer. And that happens pretty frequently. So I would say it's a very invaluable tool if it's used appropriately, for, you know, community building, interconnecting different viewers, different people from different places in the world. We have somebody live 24/7. And that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. So would you consider Premier GG a agency? Is that technically what you guys are as a company, or how do you view the brand of Premier GG, and how do new content creators, get connected with Premier.GG? Do they have to go through sort of the same sort of system that is in Twitch, where you engage with the community, you become an affiliate, which is maybe your rising program, and then eventually through that process you become a partner? Is that am I getting it right? Or
it's pretty similar.
Yeah, okay.
We have it set up in a tier system, right? And our tier system is set up in place so that, you know, us as gamers can relate to leveling up or hitting an achievement. And the bottom tier is open to anybody. There's no rules. Well, there are rules, but there's no, you know, obligations on that person to have any kind of commitment to Premier, right? So we opened up Rising as a place for people to take their first steps into this industry. So I'll use an example. Your friend wants to become a content creator. They don't really know how. Outside of going to YouTube or Google, how does that friend learn what they need to learn, meet who they want to meet, pick up some skills along the way, and meet people doing the same thing as them? There's really not a whole lot of places out there that have something like that. And for me, the problem, I guess, that my business is out to establish is there's a lot of kids that are watching streamers, content creators, esports players, professionals in this industry, and they say, I want to do that, but there's no pathway, there's no program that I can see where these people are going to get a genuine opportunity to get engaged and involved in this type of environment. If you're, I don't know if you have kids or not, but if your son came to you and said, "Hey, I want to sign for, I want to be on TSM one day. I want to be on Liquid. I want to be on CLG." There's no open door. You can't say, "Hey, I want to do this." So for us to be able to create an environment where there's competitive players, there's content creators that are all, you know, sort of grinding to meet this goal is a really cool thing.
So it's interesting because there's a lot of complex problems that you brought up there. One,
sure.
For those people, for those women listening to this podcast, I am not married and I don't have kids. So I'm a safe bet, I guess. I don't know. But for everyone listening, that's a complex issue right there, because there is there's a lack of organizations that have a direct program for path to pro. And everyone's trying to do it differently, whether it's like the traditional sure. education system or an online model like you have, or it's even a, you know, integration with some e-learning platform. There's a lot of different ways that people are trying to accomplish this.
I'll share a little insider that I don't even think I've shared it with my team. So I don't know when this podcast is going out, but something that I think may make it a little more clear is just the word opportunity. I'm not looking to become an academy or, you know, like a training facility for new creators. I would like to help provide opportunity to those who haven't gotten a chance before. And one of the things that I'm actually doing right now, I had a really cool meeting about a week and a half ago with some people who I really regard as leaders in the industry. And we're setting up a localized, since I'm here in Atlanta, a localized combine that is going to connect high school students to colleges in the area. And it's going to be, you know, professionally produced. There's going to be, you know, a lot of involvement with the state of Georgia and their Scholastic Esports Foundation. We're just now getting the groundwork on it. We had our first meeting last week, but, you know, that's just a good example of, you know, we don't have a bunch of high schoolers in our Rising program, but, you know, if there were, that would be a great opportunity to get picked up for a scholarship. And I think that's, you know, that's something that's really cool.
Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, I know in this business of esports, there's a lot going on. This is a global international business. You know, what are you doing to stay in the know with everything that's going on? Do you feel like you're in an echo chamber at all? Do you feel like, you know, that there's reason to be sort of you know, not aware of things because they might become complicated toward your business model in this esports space? Or how do you look at business and esports? Because I can definitely tell you, you know, with you being in Atlanta, there's a lot going on, you know, and yeah, especially there's sure. a lot of competition in Atlanta.
Definitely.
And so like, how do you stay kind of on the up and up when it comes to being a business owner in esports?
So I use, you know, LinkedIn quite a bit, you know, reading up on new articles, and I keep up with, you know, a few people that I think, you know, are doing the right things in the industry. And I'll be honest, I don't really like religiously follow some of the other like tier one organizations and what they're doing. Because I really do feel that where my business is positioned in the industry, that I'm not trying to directly compete with these people. I don't have a tier one esports team and that's it. And I have a few, you know, large content creators. I am just below that. So the things that I'm trying to do are things that I feel that I've seen, you know, just from being in the industry for just a short amount of time, is that it's a big gap that a lot of people are trying to solve. Like you said, there's a lot of people out there, you know, establishing leagues and programs for collegiate esports, and you know, that's great. Where I'm sitting is right in between that, right in between college and tier one pro. Not to put you on the spot, but do you know of any like really successful open door, like medium tier organizations that are doing something similar to that? I've looked around. I really don't see anybody really doing kind of what I'm doing. And it's exciting, but it's also kind of scary because there's nobody to sit there and put down a blueprint on how to make this successful. We've just been, you know, analyzing and improving where we can everywhere, all day, every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your direct competition in Atlanta is definitely Skillshot and Hi-Rez Studios. Those guys are like your direct competition. Outside, like on a national level, you got the Esports Academy, you've got UCI Irvine, you got Danny Martin, Exposure, you've got Jacob. There's a lot of people doing this. What you're doing with your connections in Atlanta and with how you've built stream teams and how you've built content creators and everything is very unique to you. That's for sure. It's very unique to your vision, your perspective, and how you do it. And I think that's the blessing of what esports as an industry and gaming is an industry, because it's so in its infancy that there's not enough of people like you. There's not enough people like me. There's not enough people like, you know, like I mentioned Jacob Johnson a little bit earlier. He's building it on the back of Udemy. I mean, he doesn't have a, you know, proprietary service, but he's in negotiations with some really, really, really great platforms to, you know, build that white label it for him. And you know, it's all going to be done at different, you know, everybody's going to come at it from different angles. I know right now, like one of the ones that I've met on Clubhouse, Inlight.gg, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but you know, there's a lot of really good people. Yellow Brick is doing their thing. Also Coursera.
I've seen Yellow Brick for sure. The biggest difference is that those organizations that you mentioned, Danny Martin, who by the way is a saint, you know, that's like, I definitely read all of his posts on LinkedIn. He's doing some really cool things out there. He's in Texas, correct?
He's in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest difference between like what the few organizations that you mentioned and what I'm doing is he's teaching all of those, you know, all of those things that, you know, quite frankly, I'm not there yet. Right. I don't believe that they are carrying any kind of like, you know, like pro level caliber teams or even amateur teams that are represented under their brand. I don't think they are.
I mean, that's not the point. That's not really the point. The point is that, there are people doing things in esports, you know, and differentiating, you know, really means nothing right now. I mean, it's just that we're trying to push the conversation around esports and around gaming to a level that is equal or greater than art, equal or greater than the music, equal and greater than other entertainment mediums, right? And so, like, I mentioned competition because it is correlated with esports being competitive gaming, but ultimately, I think that's why we see sort of pro esports being watered down, because there's a retention factor and a scarcity mindset when it comes to, you know, holding esports in a chokehold around being entertainment. And that, you know, in order to sell CDL, in order to sell Overwatch, in order to sell Riot's League of Legends or upcoming Valorant, you have to have sponsors involved, and you have to have brand name household sponsors in order to, you know, throw a sizable amount of money towards sponsorships. But which is why I think what you are saying right now that differentiates you from other education platforms and how to platforms is you have a team, you have been operational for a while now. I'm sure that when you started the business in 2020, you had already been building to where you are today. It wasn't, you know, overnight, you know, you got into the space. And so I want to ask you, like, what has been your experience working to get sponsors and get people advertising with Premier GG for either the company, its creators, or its players?
So I think you used a word that I'd like to repeat, and I think the word is watered down. You know, I think the sponsorship space is, in a lot of people's opinions, very directed towards a handful of companies. And there's a lot of people hitting a funnel and only a few come out of the funnel, right? So I, my view on sponsorships has been a little outside of the box, a little unorthodox, if you will. I think we talked about this the last time. I come from a, you know, a sales background. And you know, one of the biggest things for me when going into any kind of conversation with another business about how we can potentially work with another business, it's all about the relationship with the business that you're, you know, trying to go into business with. And the most important thing to me is not name brand. It's partnership with that brand, grow with that brand, grow together. And I think we've had fairly good success with the, you know, the few sponsors that we've been able to sign on here. And I think that's still an issue that the industry itself is trying to solve. And for me personally, I've recently just found a really great tool for the platform, or not for the platform, for the organization to utilize to really quantify that data that marketers like want to see, you know, and it's in other industries. Sports, you know, is a great example. I found a tool that isn't used for the purpose that I use it for, but I have found really, really, really good success out of just you. I've only had it for 1 month, but it definitely provides a lot of analytics and a lot of feedback on reach, engagement, and it's very widespread as to what it can do. And that's been very beneficial for me to really quantify the value that we are building, because there is a lot of hidden value with gamers right now, you know. I don't think anybody has the answer of what does it cost to have one person watching your stream. And I know, you know, like YouTube has that, what is it, the CPM rate? Yeah, I guess they have it figured out. And my biggest hurdle that we've been you know, working on is how do we show the people that we're presenting information to that the person that has 10 to 20 viewers has value to a sponsor. And I think this new platform is called Dovetail. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of it. No, but I appreciate you sharing that with the audience and whatnot.
Oh, yeah,
hopefully,
no.
that's hopefully that's valuable for them to also quantify their own, you know, businesses, or if they're, you know, contractors, like a lot of streamers that don't have representation like you, to be able to quantify their, what they're doing. That's another
really
thing.
Cool platform. Like,
it's very interesting. I'm going to have to look into that. I use a lot of tools as well. I'm sure you use a lot more tools than that as well, but that's really beneficial. Going back to a word you brought up, for getting accurate, you know, advertising deals, sponsorship deals with your creators. And so do you as a company, because this goes back to the question I asked, you as a company work with sponsors at a brand level and also at a creator level? And what sort of freedom do your, so how does it differentiate for someone who's, for a lack of a better understanding of what the platform is like, your affiliates and your partners, like,
sure.
How do you offer your affiliates opportunity and how do you offer your partners opportunity? Is it different or is it the same?
No, it is definitely different. We try to, first off, properly, you know, educate any person that we're meeting with when it comes to potential sponsorship about where their goals are going to line up with what's available with what I can do. And we typically break it into three parts. We break it into, do you want to establish this partnership or sponsorship with primarily our, you know, esports? Do you want to work with like a competitive environment, somebody that is going to, you know, potentially be winning, you know, tournaments, and you want to be on the jersey and you want to be added in as like a play of the game sponsor, you know, type like that? Or do you want to work on a more everyday level with our content creators? Do you want to have constant engagement on their streams with their communities? Do you want to build it with word of mouth and that direct referrals through our content team? Or is it you just want to go maximum exposure? You want to give in exchange for whatever that give and take is, and you just want to try and influence as many people as possible. So we break it up into three different areas. It's, do you want to work with one segment? Do you want to work with more than one segment? Or do you want to work with the entire everything I got? Do you want me to throw everything I can at whatever you're proposing? And I guess a good example of this would be, I'm not going to use any like brand names, but you know, nootropic companies, right? There's actually one right here next to me on the camera. I know you listeners can't see that, but not everybody is into the, you know, drink formula industry, right? So if I had a sponsor that wanted to come in and work with us, some people on my team might not, you know, they might not do it. So I don't actually require that every individual take an organization sponsorship. If they're not going to push it, there's no reason for me to force someone to do something that they don't want. All I do is, through my software that I was telling you about, is I'll just omit that person from the campaign that I'm proposing to run. And it just omits their numbers, their analytics, their community out of, you know, out of the proposal. So it doesn't force their hand and you know, twist their arm and make them do things they don't believe in, or it's morally against, you know, their values. So it is definitely an interesting approach to, I guess, you know, the sponsorship scene.
That's really interesting, because I've been really thinking a lot lately about sponsorships and the ease of integration between well, I think about it from a live video perspective. I personally love live video. I'm sort of ambivalent about video on demand, like YouTube. I think for YouTube gaming content, it's not my favorite thing. I like live video gaming, but I'm not really, you know, I'm not watching PewDiePie. Like, that's not something that I'm super into. Or what's the guy that's really popping off now? Dream, who's been doing this those Minecraft speed runs. I know about stuff like that. Wow, there's a lot of this going through my mind right now about this, but as somebody who's been in sales a lot, did you have were you also a creator? Were you also a creative before you started the company, or are you working with creatives to like do the branding aspect?
No, so initially, let me back up. So your first question was I creative? I would say yes. I have been involved in like video production and really audio production more specifically for the last couple years on a volunteer basis. It's not like a paid thing. But I've been involved with that for probably about 8 years. And one day, a few years back, I decided I wanted to, you know, start editing and creating videos and content around gaming, right? And so I did start content myself on Mixer when that was a thing. And I did that for about a year. And I was doing freelance animations. I downloaded, you know, the Adobe suite, and I've had Adobe for about 2 years now. So I've been going pretty hard on the learning and the 3D design and a lot of things like that. But when I first, I guess, started to dive into this as a business brand, I did have a designer. I gave the designer, you know, like what I envisioned for the branding to look like. And I did, you know, I outsourced a few templates because I do, you know, I know how to use Adobe, and I use it almost every day. I outsourced some templates, and really I've just been repurposing and reusing and tweaking and changing as the brand kind of matures a little bit. So it has changed, as we've kind of changed course a little bit, changed fonts, changed colors, that sort of thing, which I feel is, gotcha, you know, necessary sometimes.
Yeah. That's interesting for me. That opens up my eyes to like how and why you've built the brand that you've built. You know, when somebody who's new to this podcast and hasn't, you know, seen Chase's work before, but is interested in like a process, check out his work and then come back and listen to this podcast, because it actually, he's dropping a lot of gems on how someone could build a brand in this space, because he's done a good job, a great job, in fact. And kudos to you. But I want to ask you this. So for those folks who are wanting to get into the business of gaming and esports, how have you been able to fund your business? Have you, you know, done it straight through, you know, advertising and sponsorship campaigns, working with investors? Have you, you know, used capital that you built up from savings and doing other work? How have you funded building your business?
I'm glad you asked, actually. I've been on a few podcasts and a few, you know, Q&As, I guess. And nobody's ever asked me that. And to be honest, I'm quite proud of it. So back when I first established, we're just going to start from business day one, right? The only amount of money that I myself have really gone like in the red to do was start the business. since day one, we have been net positive through and through every month. And my thought process is I've been in an insurance for about 6 years now. So I do have a very different but clear understanding about, you know, cash flow and profit loss and maintaining a book and what goes in, you know, what goes out has to come back in. So I've taken, I guess, kind of some of the principles from a different industry and kind of just flipped it into, you know, what this is. So at a real level, if there's a listener right now that wants to do this and is concerned that, you know, hey, I don't have the money to do this, I can tell you right now, when I first started, it cost $100, $115 to start a business. And it's like $30 a month to have a website. Everything else, I mean, is really, you build it as you go. And I've seen a lot of YouTube videos about creators telling people that, you know, you need this equipment right out the gun. You got to have all this stuff. And really, I've never been a believer in that. I think a lot of people like to see the process. A lot of people like to see you grow and watch you grow. And that's, you know, that's basically what we did. I mean, we took all of the money that was made during that month and we just reinvested it. We put it to use within the company. And to this day, it's been a little more difficult to do it that way, I would say, without outside investment. But you know, it's been steady. If you're on top of it and you're managing it and you're watching it and you're being creative with how you're reinvesting the money in your own business, in my opinion, you know, I don't want to say the word, you know, sell out, because that's not what it is. When you have an influx of cash, you could give me $10,000 right now. But if I didn't have a plan on to what I was going to use it for, that $10,000 might as well be $0. So we've just taken that idea of, you know, like kind of like in sports, like, you know, when it's halftime, it's 0-0. You just start over. Each month is a new month to write your own book and do something that is going to grow your business. And that's basically what we've done. So in the beginning, we started out, I think the first month we were in business, I want to say we only profit like $50. We took that money, opened up a website, got the website going, really designed that, made it look nice. So now you're thinking, well, how do we make that $50 again next month? And you just build it and build it and build it and balance it as you go. So up until this point, it's been entirely self-sufficient. And it's been very calculated. And the risk-taking has been, I don't want to say pre-planned, because there's been some obviously hiccups with COVID and everything, but it's been good.
Wow. Yeah, that's experience. That's experience, Chase. And I would say a lot of people who are getting into this business, even myself to a degree, I hear what you're saying and I'm like, ah, yeah, I've made some mistakes. Like, I've made some good decisions too as well. But yeah,
I can share my biggest mistake too.
Those you, well, we're wrapping it up here, but we'll have to have you back on to talk about that. I would say for those guys just getting started, those gals as well, not to forget them and whatever your gender orientation is. You need to listen to the people like Chase and listen about how that it takes a little bit of experience. I think a lot of people want to get the attention, you know, and be viral. And they don't have a strategy like you're talking about. They don't have risk management. They don't have the experience.
but it comes with, you know, putting in the work, and it may be someone else's business, or maybe even in their own business. They just don't have the time spent. And, you know, there are some young entrepreneurs out there, and I can think of a few that I look at and I say, wow, you're doing a great job, you know, and keep it up. But the majority of young entrepreneurs I meet that are, you know, 14 to 18 years old or 18 to 25, I'm only 27, but, you know, they just don't have it. I don't think I had it, but I appreciate the knowledge you just dropped there. And as we close this out, how can people find Premier GG, and how can they get connected with Chase if they want to get connected with you?
Yeah, so you can find everything you really you need to know about the organization, the creators, players. Just go on the website, premierGG.com, premieresports.org, or you can take a look at some of the merchandise that I've been designing for the last couple months at premierGGmerch.com. That's where all of our, you know, information is housed, all of our creators, players, things like that. If you want to get in direct contact with me, I do, you know, answer emails, DMs, whatever you need. Twitter at @_kickace, or my email is chase@premieresports.org. Feel free. I'm always here to help.
Awesome. Thanks again. And once again, for the listeners, this has been Chase Peterson of premier.gg or premierGG.com and Premier GG. Thank you very much for listening.
Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.